Hello, everyone. Welcome back to For the Girls. We are having quite the morning, and Tiggy's having quite the afternoon. Tiggy's joining us from the Olympic Villa. We are in New York having such an amazing morning watching the race. So we're going to give you our freshest take since we are right off the race. We had such an amazing weekend. Another winner that's not Max. So George Russell having his second win of the season, the only other driver than Max this season to be a repeat race winner. We have so much to talk about. We cannot wait. So let's just jump into our overall thoughts and takeaways. I'm Chessa.
I'm Tiggy.
And I'm Sarah. Bit of a disclaimer here before we get started. We recorded this episode, unfortunately, before we learned that George had been disqualified. So we'll provide a bit of a background on that. F1 cars have a very strict weight limit of 798 kilograms. And importantly, that weight limit applies after 2.8 liters of fuel have been removed after the race. So initially, George's car was weighed, it looked fine. But then when they removed the fuel, it was 2.5 kilograms underweight. And there's strict penalties in this situation since it's considered a really fundamental regulation. And the typical penalty is disqualification, which is unfortunately what happened to George. And Mercedes said to the stewards that it was a genuine error. They admitted that there kind of weren't special extenuating circumstances that should be considered. They said, quote, there were no mitigating circumstances, and that it was a genuine error by the team, according to the stewards. Toto released a statement about it, and just so tough for George after such an incredible race and driving, which we will talk about. There's a couple different theories about how this could have happened. One is that potentially, since they were expecting a two-stop strategy and it was a game time decision to do the one-stop strategy, that maybe they didn't expect that much tire deg and it was losing weight from rubber or something else impacted by the one-stop strategy. But regardless, still a mistake because they should be prepared to be able to weigh in properly no matter what strategy they end up running in the race. But the bright side is that he still had an amazing race. Mercedes still came away with the win for Lewis. So now Piastri is promoted to P2 and Charles is promoted to P3. And this puts Daniel Ricciardo in the points at P10.
Jumping into overall thoughts, I loved this race. It was so thrilling to have only a second between the top three and then a second between Max, Charles, and Lando. The top eight really were so close for so much of this race. It looked like we could have multiple podium contenders. Ended up being a thrilling George P6 to P1 drive, calling his own strategy and becoming the second person this season other than Max to repeat a race win. So super exciting. Great to see all the shakeups happening at the top here and love watching on a Sunday again and not being sure who's going to end up on podium.
So fun.
Truly the best treat, incredible race. And this was an interesting race too. It was pretty challenging for the teams because all of the weather conditions, everything was very different on Friday and Saturday during practices. And so Sunday was kind of like a blank slate for all the teams. So it was definitely quite challenging. It was amazing to see a lot of teams execute really well. And of course, Mercedes in really, really top form. It makes me so sad that this was the last race before summer break because I think we are in for such a treat. I really hope that the momentum continues and how exciting the sport has been and that summer break doesn't slow everyone down. And it's going to be just an epic constructors battle when we get back. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, what a way to go into silly season and summer break. I feel like that was a perfect send-off into, you know, a couple weeks off, and then we'll come back hopefully feeling strong. Yeah, I thought today was such great racing, even just seeing people less than a second between each other for many, many laps across the top of the field was so cool. I always think it's fun when the driver who wins really, really has to work for it. And that was very much true with George. And I think we really saw him shine in doing that. And then I also always love when a race comes down to tires and strategy and what team is calling the right shots at the right time. And obviously we saw that even within one team with Mercedes, like George having the right strategy and Lewis ending up not having the right one. But it was such a cool thing to think about and to see play out. So for MVPs, I'll just roll right into Mercedes and their car, which is looking like kind of a rocket ship. And I have to say, it's so cool to see that coming right off of my visit to Brackley, because you'll hear this in the interview that we release with Bradley and Allie, but I asked, I was like, what's the vibe at the team right now, especially after Silverstone and 2 wins, 5 podiums in a row, now 6, obviously. And he was like, it's just buzzy. Like, we are feeling so good. It's just buzzy. And I think we could kind of tell that walking around the floors and just seeing everybody super stoked. So amazing to see them have a 1-2 and feeling a little bit like old times. So
okay, careful there. But I will say, I petitioned to have Tiggy visit Ragley every week before a race because the buzz is buzzing now, thanks to you, probably. Good luck charm.
Yes, you're welcome, the entire team of Mercedes.
Tiggy, I was totally thinking that towards the end, the last 5 laps when Lewis was closing in on George, it was kind of giving Bottas Hamilton vintage Mercedes 1-2 days. It was super exciting. I was happy that the team was going to let them race, which Lewis ended up not having the pace to be able to really fight George at the end there. And George was driving incredibly, but that was so exciting. I think for my MVP, George calling the one stop, I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. It was reminding me of Sainz, of just the ability of drivers to be able to be racing in the middle of the pack, not even necessarily in clear air where they don't have much time to think, and being able to call strategy at the same time. It's just a sign of such an advanced driver, that type of racecraft. And he just had a feeling he could do it and push for it. And that gave him the win. It was P6 to P1. And it was all because of that strategy call.
It's giving lead driver at Mercedes next year energy. And for whatever people's thoughts are about George, it is fun to see a driver come into himself and kind of have that confidence, especially driving next to a 7-time world champion. So kind of cool.
Yeah, P6 to P1 is total number one driver energy. And it really gives like Max having these epic comeback drives. So I mean, am I calling George Max? Absolutely not, but it was cool to see. Yeah, I'm going to give it to Oscar. He had such an incredible race and the team is just firing on all cylinders. And it's kind of cool to see Oscar and Lando kind of going back and forth. I said to Sarah this morning, I was like, do you think Oscar's a better driver than Lando? And she was like, I don't know if Oscar's a better driver than Lando, but is Oscar doing better in his second season than Lando was? Like, yeah, Oscar has a lot of promise. And this is McLaren's 10th consecutive podium. So got to give it to them. Okay, moving on to LVPs. Let me just preface this by saying, you all know that I am a huge Checo fan. I've always loved him. He's done such incredible things for the sport, such incredible things for Latin American people getting into the sport and loving the sport. And he said as much in his interview when we interviewed him. So huge Checo fan. With that, he is my continued LVP because he's making me sad and it's disappointing. And I do think he will probably be my LVP until he gets replaced, which we will talk about, but makes me sad.
Until he gets replaced. Wow.
Yes, so it makes me sad to say that.
So you think 100% chance that he is being replaced? Do you think mid-season or do you think after this season?
I think mid-season. I mean, you can't be driving a Red Bull. Like, Red Bull's such an establishment of excellence these days that you can't be going from, what was it, P2 to P8?
Yeah.
Like, you just
Max
can't be
doing
that.
The absolute reverse
the opposite
of that.
It's too rough. Oh. So that's my LVP. What about you, Sarah?
I think for me, it's Ferrari pace. That aerial at the start of the race of Lewis overtaking Charles, it looked like what people used to say about the aerial shots of the Red Bull, where it kind of looked like an F1 car versus an F2 car. Charles, there was just absolutely nothing he could do. It looked like Lewis just had an absolute launch compared to him. So Ferrari didn't feel like they had any huge strategy blunders or anything this weekend, just that they didn't really have the pace and so haven't been able to put together the type of weekend they have wanted to see since Monaco.
Yeah, I think that's a great one. For me, I think just them bringing Lewis in for a second pit stop, such a bummer. And I'll give the LVP to the tires hanging on long enough for a one stopper, which I'm happy for George, obviously, and happy for Mercedes with a 1-2. But as a Lewis fan, it would have been so nice to have seen him win that because he was really in command for most of the race.
Okay, how about hot takes? For me, I had a Max win. This was obviously before I knew about the grid penalty, but still, what was it? P11 to P5 drive, pretty solid.
I don't know what planet I was on when I said my hot takes, but I said, I think it's because you guys always complain to me that my hot takes are not hot enough. So I was like, I'm just going to give you a flaming hot take of Alonso top 5. He did finish P9 though. So actually, so far from top 5, like literally my hot take flopped. All right, Tiggy, what about yours?
Mine was probably just as bad, if not worse. I said Ferrari would come back to kick off silly season on a high with a double podium, and we did not even have a single podium. So sad.
Before we get into the race, we are going to recap Tiggy's amazing experience this week visiting both Brackley and McLaren Technology Center, MTC, the Mercedes and McLaren factories. So get ready for a very exciting recap of that.
Okay, let us begin. So we are here with a new podcast guest. Her name is Tiggy Vallon. I don't know if anyone's heard of her before, but she recently had the week of her life in the UK. So we figured we would have her on as a guest to our podcast so that she could tell us about it. Okay, Tiggy, where to begin? So first you went with McLaren to MTC. I believe it was on Wednesday, right?
Yep.
So tell us about that whole process. It's such a beautiful campus.
Yeah, that was amazing. First of all, it's so easy to get to from London. Like we literally just took the train from, I think it was Waterloo, just to MTC, super easy. And the security at these places, I guess I should have expected it, but the security, that's the first thing you notice when you walk in.
Oh, whoa, I would never have thought about that actually.
Yeah, it's intense. Like we had to stop and wait and check in, and we had a taxi driver, and he had to like get us registered or with the security people out front. It was definitely, it felt like you're entering a confidential area.
You know what I'm imagining?
Highly secure.
When the Incredibles go visit Edna Mode at her compound.
It's kind of.
And it's the whole thing.
Literally what it is. I mean, MTC, we'll get to Mercedes as well, but MTC is crazy. Like the setting, all the pictures you see, it is that stunning and more just in terms of the setting and the water and the glass and all the cars. They call it the boulevard, which is where you see all the pictures usually with all the different cars kind of in that glass windowed area. And it was so cool. We'll talk about the differences, I think, between the two, because that was one thing that struck me a lot. But McLaren, so welcoming, so warm. They have these like professional tour, they work for McLaren, but they know everything about the history of McLaren, the brand, everything going on in the factory. And so just so knowledgeable. Our tour guide was named was Amy, and she was so nice and just knew everything. So she walked us through all the history of the different cars, of Bruce McLaren, why did they choose papaya, all sorts of different things about the brand.
Well, and please tell us, why did they choose papaya?
So we put it in the reel on Saturday, but papaya, the reason Bruce McLaren chose it was because on black and white TVs, all the reds and the blues and the green cars showed up kind of like the similar grayish dark color, but the papaya shows up white on black and white TV. So it was different from all the other ones. And so that's why they chose it, which is so cool.
That is such a good fun fact. Oh my gosh, that is worth the entire trip. That's
literally, that's what I said.
Would that be the best fun fact we've learned in our entire 3 years of doing this podcast?
I know. It's absolutely crazy. I feel like I learned so many fun facts. So the next thing, well, the first thing they took us to was the sort of gaming esports sim studio. And it's
Wait, you did a sim, right?
Yes, I did another sim. And
an automatic or a manual?
It was automatic. I actually really wanted to be able to change the gears, but
I guess automatic is the way to go.
But they were telling me another fun fact is the order of the sim lap time records for McLaren. It's the two, I mean, I guess this isn't surprising, but the two esports drivers are first and second, and then it's Oscar, and then it's Lando, and then I think it's like Pato, and then some of the Formula E drivers. But it was so funny to hear the order. And what's also crazy is in that gaming like simulation room, they have a desk for an engineer. Like they literally have an engineer on the headset giving them strategy, because it's an AI powered game, so the AI can like throw in weather or throw in different things, and they literally have an engineer coaching them through the sim, which is
my jaw's on the floor.
Wait, like that's just the engineer just like clocks into work and does this all day?
Yes. Well, I don't know all day, but like, yeah, it's isn't that so crazy?
Whoa.
Do they have a cafeteria at MTC? That was my first question.
I didn't see it, but I think they do. I did see the cafeteria at Brackley, which was cool, but I did not see it at MTC.
Okay, before we move,
like, what are the snacks like? Most important question.
I just feel like campuses of companies are so fascinating. I want to know what they feed their employees.
Yeah, it was cool. They fed us croissants, if you'd like to know.
Oh, perfect. I was going to ask if you had snacks. Amazing. Yeah. Okay, so how did you round out the day at MTC?
So they took us on a full tour, which was so cool, through the boulevard, all the history, all the different cars. They were showing us a lot of the supercars, which was amazing. I didn't really know that much about the supercars. But they're all, well, maybe not all of them, but most of them are based off of nature, because nature is the, in their minds, like the ultimate efficiency in terms of design and in terms of power and performance. And so we saw all these supercars based off of nature. So we saw like a cheetah, a car that literally looks like a cheetah. It's not, and it's so beautifully designed and well done. It doesn't actually look like a cheetah, but it has the kind of curves that a cheetah.
It's not cheetah print.
No, it's black, but okay. So like cool.
Jaguar.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Tiki, can you explain what's the purpose of a supercar? Like, why do they have them? Do people own them? Are they just there for display?
No, they do. People own them. It's also – so MTC, I believe, is also the headquarters of McLaren Automotive. So people buy McLaren supercars, which is very cool. She was joking that – she's like, yeah, I was sitting in one of them that was based off the Amazon. The paint was – inspired by the Amazon forest. And she was like, yeah, this is one of our base models. It starts at 185K. So that was cool. We saw a praying mantis car, a great white shark car. And I'll have to throw pictures up, or it'll be in maybe the MTC, the little MTC vlog that we're making. But it was very cool. And then the Lego car, which we posted a picture of, 468,000 pieces to that car. And fun fact about that car, it turns on. Literally, the lights turn on. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? You can't drive it because the brake ducts are Legos, but you literally can turn the car on. It's crazy.
My jaw's on the floor. Wait, sounds like the best day ever.
Is it a hollow Lego car?
I don't know if it's hollow. I didn't go inside it, obviously, but I like it. It looked pretty real. So they talked. I didn't see mission control, but they talked about it, which is where all the engineers sit. And so there are 20 engineers for Lando, 20 for Oscar, and they run 30 million simulations in a week. Isn't that insane?
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So strategy on strategy, different. And a big part of the reason for going was to interview Kim Wilson, who we did interview last year for the sustainability series, but we interviewed her again kind of about the progress and a bunch of other different things. And obviously it was just cool to be there and ask a little bit more about MTC and that sort of thing. But we also got to meet half of her sustainability team, which was amazing. So we got to meet a bunch of people who are doing all the things behind the scenes. And so that was really cool. I'm sure I'll have more to say about McLaren when we compare the two, but Mercedes, different vibe off the bat. We were picked up in a black Mercedes from the train station and we were
let's
like,
go.
This is a peak life experience. So that was cool. And I have to say, entering Brackley feels like entering Langley or something. It feels very kind of secretive and cool and just the
vibe.
More
like the Incredibles, more like the Incredibles.
Yeah. But like it felt very cool. But what was cool is that inside it feels totally not like that. They all sit trading floor style. So it's like open seating. All of them sit together. Dang. Like, no, I didn't see any offices. I saw some meeting rooms, but like everybody's sitting out open on the floor.
What about
which
Toto?
Is so cool. I'm sure Toto has an office. I didn't see it. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. Maybe he sits trading floor style.
No, I think he does.
I've Toto out in the bullpen.
I've seen like little videos from their Instagram of his office.
And then interviewed Bradley and Allie. So Bradley is the chief communications officer and Allie is their head of sustainability.
And we've had Allie before on the podcast as well.
We did.
We got to meet Bradley in Vegas eating breakfast at about
– like 2 p.m.
2 p.m. scrambled eggs.
It was crazy. We talked about that in the interview. I was like, I feel more aligned at this time and at home. What was cool about Brackley, we got to walk through the race bays. So where they build – and we did this at McLaren too, where they build the cars, where they do all the upgrades. And they look like surgical – so clean, just like almost hospital-esque. It's kind of crazy. They're pristine. Everything is in its place. It's absolutely perfectly cleaned and amazing. So
I remember saying that when we were in the McLaren garage, how it was stunningly clean.
Yeah.
Everything, no clutter anywhere, everything in the perfect place.
Yeah.
Tiki, were they Was it very clear, like, where you could and couldn't take photos? Or did they have to be like, yes,
McLaren?
No, yes, no.
Very clear. Very clear. They were like, everything you can take photos of except for, like, the race area and then some places downstairs. And we also got to go in the wind tunnel. So, obviously, no pictures in there.
You didn't lead with that? Oh, my gosh.
Wait, did they go back? Did they turn it on for you?
It was, I think it was already on. So that
I'm imagining Piggy like indoor skydiving or something.
That was nuts. And I was asking, I was like, so every team has a certain amount of wind tunnel time. How does the FIA monitor this? They have cameras on at all times in the wind tunnel monitoring activity, which is insane.
I take it back. That's the best fun fact ever. That's a great point about enforcement. Wow.
Yeah. So at Brackley, we walked through the race bays, and they do, after every race, a team briefing where everybody goes into the race bay and someone gives a briefing of the weekend of what went well, what didn't go well, what went wrong. And then it's an open Q&A for the whole team to ask questions and talk about the race and the different decisions that were made. And I think that's really a kind of cool thing. There were a lot of red hats and Niki Lauda memorial memorabilia around, which was amazing. When you drive into Brackley, the first thing you see is Lauda Drive or Lauda Way. I don't remember which one, but just a lot of really cool history and honoring Niki, which was super cool. We saw composites where they make a lot of the materials, which is really interesting. We saw a lot of people in white lab coats and goggles. It felt a little science lab-y, which was really interesting and cool. And they were telling us that at Mercedes, they have these employee clubs, like run clubs or cycling clubs. They have a football competition with Aston Martin, which is so funny. So.
Oh my gosh, like team, like that's so cool.
It really seems like a team vibe. Like I think they're going for Silicon Valley, Google campus-esque.
Oh yeah.
So a couple differences, which I thought was really interesting to think about. I think despite McLaren being across multiple series and MTC being the home of McLaren Automotive, and obviously they're working on all these series, it definitely felt more compact because it's just one building that I saw. I'm sure there are like others around, but it was just really one main building versus Brackley has a lot of different ones and it feels more like a campus. So I thought that was interesting. But I think it's probably because McLaren doesn't make engines. So they don't have as much going on in terms of power unit development because Mercedes obviously is doing all of that. But you definitely feel the sort of scale and brand weight at Mercedes, even though Brackley is just focused on F1. Obviously, Mercedes is in Germany, but you definitely kind of feel that weight, which is interesting. I'm trying to think of what else.
Did you sense that the body of water at MTC was indeed swimmable?
No, it's kind of like a pond, and I think it's quite shallow. So okay. No, I don't think you swim in it.
Debunked. But
what is really cool is that it does heat and cool the building. So that is a fun fact.
Wow, that is really cool.
This has been the most enlightening 15 minutes of fun facts I have ever experienced.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, both of them were so welcoming, and it was really cool to see behind the scenes. Like, we felt very welcomed and just so lucky to be there. And what I thought was really cool about Mercedes is it strikes this really interesting balance of professionalism and luxury and this sort of like je ne sais quoi secrecy with also what feels like an incredibly open and collaborative team culture, which I honestly think should be like a business school case study if it's not already. Knowing Toto, it probably is. But
well, Tiggy, you bring it to business school. There you go.
Exactly. Okay, I guess this is my hard launch. I'm going to business school, everybody.
And everyone, Tiggy is not going to just a business school. Tiggy is going to Stanford Business
which
School.
Means
we're so proud of her.
I'm leaving New York. It's so sad.
Tiggy's coming back to New York, though. We're not letting her move to California permanently. Yes,
exactly. I'm not going to be gone for long. But anyway, yeah, such a cool experience. And one other thing about the wind tunnel. So we got to go into the MTC one. And the difference there is that like they literally took us into the wind tunnel. We didn't go inside the chamber, but we got to see kind of the area. At Mercedes,
one of the highest people up at the team, like, did their key card does not have access to the wind tunnel. So it's just a different Whoa. Situation.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, that all sounds amazing. Is there anything else that you feel like you missed? Any other fun facts?
Not besides the fun fact reel we did on Saturday, and we're releasing a little MTC vlog, which will have more information. Mercedes didn't have the opportunity to take as many pictures just because things felt a little different. Because
of the je ne sais quoi. Got it. Well, thank you, Tiggy, for being a great guest. We really appreciate the time that you took to be with us today.
Well, I hope I'm invited back someday.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning F1 championships is sometimes also what you need to keep your car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Okay, friends, today we're talking about sleep and specifically getting better sleep. If you can relate to having trouble falling asleep and staying asleep and getting good quality sleep, then listen up. We are so excited to share a new product we've been using from Beam, their Dream Powder. Our listeners will get a special discount on this Dream Powder. It's a science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. It tastes insane. I did it last night and I woke up this Monday morning feeling incredibly refreshed. I gave it to my little sister and she loved it too. They also have amazing flavors, sea salt caramel, brownie batter, vanilla chai, and then of course the original flavor, cinnamon cocoa. It's been tested for high quality efficacy and formulated to ease your body into rest, supporting all four stages of the sleep cycle to help you stay asleep longer and fall asleep faster. Other sleep aids can cause next day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. If you want to try the best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/paddockproject and use code paddockproject at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/paddockproject and use code paddockproject for up to 40% off. We have been very busy lately and have been really trying to do everything we can to feel our best as we wind up the summer and head into a very busy fall. And one thing we've been doing to help us and support us is using our Happy Mammoth products, especially Estro Control. It helps to support our hormones and alleviate any of those pesky PMS symptoms, including bloating. And it also assists in maintaining cognitive health and promoting liver function and digestive health. Happy Mammoth also has the amazing Hormone Harmony supplement dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women, and they make no compromise when it comes to quality. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today. Like most people, we love a great deal, but what we don't love is jumping through a million hoops just to end up saving a few dollars, especially when it comes to wireless plans. There's so many promos and offers out there, but they do really make it hard to get good quality savings. With Mint Mobile, it really is so easy though. For just $15 a month, you can get a wireless plan when you get a 3-month plan. And the website and activation process are so seamless. Honestly, the longest part of this process is going to be the time that you spend on hold trying to break up with your old provider. To get started, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. There you can see that right now all 3-month plans are only $15 a month, including the unlimited plan. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you can bring your old phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. That's mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions may apply.
jumping into practice. So FP1, Max led this session. Oscar and Albon rounded out the top three. Fun to see Albon up there. I know it's FP1, but love a little mix up. The main drama here was a dramatic spin out and save from Daniel Ricciardo. FP2, really good showing from McLaren here. Lando and Oscar P1 and P2, and then Max P3. And then FP3, super rainy. Early red flags, 20 minutes in. Lance Stroll had a huge spin into the wall at Rouge, which it's always really scary when you're watching that in the rain. Watching Spa in the rain is just not a feeling that I personally like to see. But we saw then another red flag due to weather later in the session. And in the end, we had Max leading the timesheets, followed by Oscar and Gasly.
Yeah, we love a little mix-up for practice, even though we have said multiple times that it is not conclusive or indicative of exactly what's going to happen during the race. But nevertheless, we'd love to see people like Pierre Gasly rounding at the top of the timesheets. Okay, so quali started off with a very wet track after the rainy morning practice session. And then there was also some rain forecasted at the end of the session. So teams are definitely factoring weather and tire track conditions and then their tire strategies a lot into quali. So for Q1, everyone got out super fast to try to set lap times before any potential weather. There was a lot of movements and times, several moments where we saw some front runners looking like they were at risk, including Lando, who ended up P12 in Q1, and Hamilton, who ended up P13 in Q1. And I can't believe we have to celebrate this, but Checo finally made it out of Q1. So in the end, out we had Hülkenberg, K-Mag, Yuki, Logan Sargeant, and Joe.
For Q2, the session started dry, but devolved into rainier conditions as it went on. Again, we saw some really notable names at risk, including both Ferraris. One standout here was Ocon. He had a great session, made it to Q3. And also Checo managed to get into Q3, but it was by a couple thousandths. It was really on the edge there in P10. So for cuts, we had Albon, Gasly, Ricciardo, Bottas, and Stroll.
Ocon feeling the power of their Deadpool Wolverine livery and press tour this weekend, which was hilarious. Q3, this was a pretty standard Q3 session. Max set the fastest lap early on, and then later in the session, we had Charles rounding it out in P2 and Checo in P3 with his best quali performance in weeks, months, dare we say. So that was crazy. Then we had Hamilton, Lando, Oscar, George, Sainz, Alonso, and Ocon for the rest of the top 10. And a reminder that Max did have that 10-place grid penalty, so the starting front row was Charles and Checo, with Max starting in 11th.
Okay, so let's talk about the race. As usual, we'll kind of give you our TLDR and about the race start and how we thought things played out, and then we'll go into teams. So the race started out as very, very hot. The track was a lot hotter than the rest of the weekend. Again, something to consider for the team since they hadn't really tested that much there. In the pre-race grid walk, Brundle was very invested in some apparent duct tape on Lewis's car, which apparently really worked and made him faster, but Brundle was definitely on one today. In terms of the race start, almost everyone started out on mediums. For the race start, Charles had a very nice, clean getaway. This was kind of one of those things where it was almost better to start P3 than P2 because Checo had to kind of cut across to Charles, whereas Hamilton kind of got to attack from behind, and it made it seem like it was almost harder for Checo. So Checo had to move over to cover Hamilton, and then it ended up being a pretty spicy Checo-Hamilton battle while Charles was able to pull away. Gained some time there. Checo was being very aggressive. Him and Lewis were basically wheel-to-wheel through La Source and Auroge. Lando had a tough start, lost three places, and had a quick trip through the gravel, also went through the runoff, trying to keep signs behind him. Max, as per usual, was up three places by the second lap, slid into P8 to kind of start to join the fight. And then on lap three, Lewis had unbelievable straight line speed. Like we said, shot past Charles to take the lead. Charles could not defend. And I can't imagine what was going through Lewis's mind. He's like, oh, here I go passing the car that I will be driving next year. Real bar.
The pack was just incredibly tight in the first stint, with the top eight all around a second of each other. And it was the top four teams. It was McLaren, Red Bull, Ferrari, and Mercedes. It was really, really exciting to watch. Basically kind of a DRS train up front. A couple people were outside a second, but a lot of people were under a second. And then the pit stops started early for the first round. Hulk stopped on lap eight to kind of kick it off. And then several of the front runners went in for hards, including Piastri, Russell, and Verstappen. One thing we noticed this race, which was really fun, were there were really incredible pit stops up and down the grid. So many nice clean stops. Piastri got a 2.0, but truly up and down the pit lane, there were a lot of stops under 2.5. It was really impressive.
Yeah, super impressive. Shout out to the pit crews. For the top eight, both McLarens, Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes all stayed quite tight, and it was looking like a bunch of people could have a shot at the podium. But by the midpoint of the race, it was looking like Hamilton, Piastri, and Charles were really the contenders. Little did we know what was going to happen. Max was about to overtake Checo, and then Checo pitted. He was just kind of having a miserable time, saying he had battery problems, straight line speed issues. Then he later had to let Max through, didn't fight it. So not a great time for Checo. But Piastri got clean air on lap 28 after Lewis and Charles pitted, and then just started flying on the hard tires and started setting fastest laps after fastest laps. And what was crazy is they weren't new tires. They were 17 laps old, but he was just sort of set free and unleashed to do his thing. And I think it was Crofty or Brundle who was like, beware the quiet man. And it goes without saying, but clean air is king. So kind of a dad joke, but we love it.
Yeah, I love that Oscar literally was like in the middle of the race and goes online to be like, it goes without saying, guys, but clean air is king. Like, you're literally driving a race and you're super young, but go off with the dad jokes.
Then unfortunately, Oscar had a slower stop, 4.4 seconds, but he fought back and he had an unbelievable overtake of Leclerc on the outside through the chicane. And then we had the big mix up at the end here. So George decided to pull off a one stop. So he had track position for the last stint. And then it just became a sprint to the end between Russell and Hamilton. It was truly incredible from George. He was on 30 lap old tires. Lewis was really quickly making up ground. Lewis was told with a few laps left that they were free to race, but to leave enough space. They were just so tight in the last 3 to 4 laps. Hamilton kind of considered making a move a few times, but Russell hung on and Lewis just could not pull it off. It was incredible driving from both of them.
But crazy that it literally less than 0.5 times were separating them in the last lap, which you're always scared, I'm sure, as a team, seeing your cars racing so closely for like a lot on the line in the last lap. You're like, please don't crash. Please don't crash. Please don't do something stupid.
They panned over to Toto in the garage and like his finger hovering over the radio button to be like, oh my God, is Toto going to come? I'm like, guys, please, please play safe. Don't crash. But another thing that I couldn't help but wonder that like maybe if Lewis and Russell would have fought enough or more at the front, they would have slowed down and then Oscar could have come in for P1. Like I was like, maybe he can win and like actually have this win be super hard fought and not made for him like last weekend. But anyways, let's talk about the team. So for Red Bull, not ideal for Max missing out on podium, but again, to go from P11 to P5, super solid, helped him maintain his position in the championship going into summer break. Definitely felt very reminiscent of his mega drives last year, going from like back of the grid to front of the grid.
And I also must add, it seems like GP and Max were back on happy terms this weekend. Their radio
they probably went to couples therapy.
The radio seemed like they were having a nice time. GP was just like, you can push now, Max. And Max was like, thanks.
Thank you, sir. I shall.
Let's just finish off Red Bull for Checo. Miserable day for him. Started P2. Could not keep up with that top eight pack around him. Sainz blasted past him for P7 in the final few laps. Again, P2 to P8, not great when Max did the complete opposite. And then, yeah, Sainz overtaking him at the end kind of feels like symbolism because we're getting the sense that maybe Sainz is just waiting until Checo gets dropped to swoop in and potentially take his seat. And Checo is now eighth in the standings. And then I think the only kind of Hail Mary he had was they pitted him on the last lap to try on softs to try to get that fastest lap with extra points. But now that we have arrived at this point in the conversation, ladies, you know where I stand on what I think is going to happen. What do you guys think?
Well, we did a poll this morning about what you all think, and we had 42% saying that you think he'll be replaced right after summer break. So someone else will be in the car when we get back. 48% of you said staying for the rest of the season and then he'll be replaced. And then a strong, strong 11% of you say that he'll stay for next season. I sort of think it just feels like Red Bull's not super hot on Liam Lawson, which is such a bummer because I feel like that would be the right choice. So I would love to, I mean, maybe not love, but I would like to see Liam in the car as soon as possible. So that's sort of what I think should happen. But in terms of what I think will happen, I do think they'll probably give Checo the rest of the season and then replace him after for next year.
I agree. I think he'll get through the end of the season because Red Bull has enough of a lead that as long as Checo's in the points and Max is doing his thing and carrying the team, they can probably still pull it off versus they don't have a super clear option for a midseason replacement right now. It would really have to be either Daniel, Yuki, and Liam. And I don't think you could count on any of those people being able to hop in the car midseason and outperform Checo right now, or at least without kind of creating some increased risk of crashes and just turmoil in the team that might end up hurting them more in constructors than Checo getting P7 to P10. So I think my guess right now is that they'll keep him through the end of the season, but I think his odds might have improved for next season if I was kind of thinking on Saturday when he got P2, like, oh, if he has a really strong podium to close off before break, goes into it with momentum, but that is just not what ended up happening. So I really do not think things are looking good for next season.
Agreed.
Yeah.
For Ferrari, okay result, not great. We talked about their pace. Charles ended in P4, Sainz in P7. So still solid points haul, but definitely disappointing after Charles started on pole and had a clean getaway at the start. Really just felt like they didn't have the speed and they really haven't been able to put together a super competitive weekend since Monaco, which is just so crazy after such a high. So I feel for those drivers for sure.
At one point, Sarah was like, I think Charles is going to win the race. And I was like, Sarah?
Jinx.
Maybe.
In my defense, it was very early on. I think this was first four laps. Well, Tiggy, walk us through the team that did end up getting the 1-2.
I'm feeling so good right now. And I'm so glad I get to go into summer break on this high. So for Mercedes, 11 years to the day since Lewis won his first race with the team, which is just amazing all around. Really good day, good weekend for them. Toto said before the race that he didn't expect to be in contention for the win, and he ended up with an amazing 1-2 and what looked like one of the fastest, if not the fastest car on track. So it was interesting because they did change the car a lot from Friday to Saturday after having a lot of issues on Friday, but before the race hadn't been able to actually test them in dry conditions. So the race was definitely going to be a bit of a gamble, but boy, was it a good gamble and a good surprise. We talked about George having his heroic drive, managing his tires really well to execute that one stop, take the win. In the last few laps, though, when Hamilton was trying his best to challenge George, the commentator said a hilarious thing. They were like, it's the Russell hustle against hammer time, which is so funny.
So good. So good. It was so sad at the end for Lewis, though. Obviously, George was elated. His radio, like pulling into where he parks his car for P1, was obviously super excited. But Lewis looked so disappointed getting out of the car. Like, his head was hung so low. And in the interview, he said, quote, every stint I had tires left and the team pulled me in. So I don't think he was very happy with how the strategy played out for him versus for his teammate.
And one thing I'll say, though, is that in the interview with Bradley and Ali at Mercedes, Bradley was like, we're feeling disappointed by some of these podiums, which is such a good feeling finally to have, like when you're disappointed being on podium and not getting the win, or if you're Lewis, you're disappointed getting P2. That's such a better position to be in than
last year
being disappointed in P8, you know. So I think it's just a sign of a different season for them, which is great.
Yeah, and it's nice to see them that like hungry and thinking that they can be that good. One thing I have to call out is Gunther doing the post-race interviews. Obviously, it's so fun. Like, he's such a character. Why not like throw him in there to do the post-race interviews? But some of the questions he asked just made no sense. Like, you could tell, you could see how Lewis was getting out of the car. And he's like, Lewis, what do you think? Can you fight for the driver's championship? And Lewis was like, crickets. Like, no. And Gunther was like, all right, okay. Like, what a weird question to ask. It was very strange.
For McLaren, great race from Piastri. He really came out fighting after the first pit stops. He had great overtakes of Russell and Checo. And then, like we said, once he got into clear air in the last stint, he was just absolutely flying on those hard tires. If there had been a couple more laps, I think he would have been challenging Lewis and George. He had really caught up there at the end for the podium finish. Lando didn't have the best race. He wasn't able to get that clear air situation that Oscar did. He was stuck behind cars. He really, the three place loss in the first lap really sacrificed his race. He didn't have the pace to catch Max, so he finished P6, which, again, still a solid points haul, but he's probably a little disappointed with that.
For sure. At least the one silver lining is he definitely made Max work for it at the beginning of the race. He kept Max behind him for quite a while. So that was cool to see for him. For Aston Martin, Lance called the straight line speed a beeping joke, which might have been a little tough to the team that hustled so hard the other day on quali day to fix his super damaged car after FP3 just in time for quali. But alas, I guess it's always frustrating to be in a slow car. That said, Alonso was able to pull off some points in P9. So that was at least a little bit of a silver lining.
If only Alonso could have been top five, but whatever. Okay, so for V-Card, Yuki took a huge slew of new power unit components ahead of the race, which translated into a 60-place grid penalty drop. He didn't know, like, he obviously knew he was going to get some sort of penalty, but didn't realize. And after FP2, Will Buxton was interviewing him and mentioned that it was 60 places. And I think that was the first time Yuki had heard it. And he was like, oh my God, Jesus. And Will Buxton just started cracking up. It was very funny. So yeah, Yuki finished P17. Also really disappointing for Danny, who just narrowly missed out on the points at P11 after basically being P10 and running in the points for most of the race.
For Alpine, the exciting news this week was that Esteban Ocon signed with Haas. He'll be joining the team in 2025 on a multi-year deal to round out the new lineup with Ollie Bearman. And he got points to top it off. He got a great P10 at the end after running outside the points for most of the race. So exciting weekend for him. In other Alpine news, they look pretty close to dropping Renault as their engine supplier. It was reported this week that they're kind of close to a deal that would make Mercedes their new engine, gearbox, and suspension supplier. So we'll see. And meanwhile, they had a super fun red livery to promote the Deadpool and Wolverine movie starring the Alpine investor Ryan Reynolds.
But we can't forget the biggest Alpine news of all this week is that Bruno Famin is not returning as team principal after the summer break. So that is big news. So he's still sticking with Alpine. He's just moving outside the F1 department, which I guess it makes sense to shake up leadership when you're disappointed most weekends.
It's just been so many shakeups for, it feels like, 2 years. And yeah, it's hard. I feel like so many team principals end up in this situation, but if you become the team principal of a team that's really struggling, you're not going to be able to turn around a non-points scoring team in 6 months. It's just not how things work. So it must be kind of frustrating for him and some of the other leadership.
Tiggy, now that everyone knows that you're going to business school, might I request that, like, 6 weeks or 8 weeks into school, once you've already had a few cases under your belt, we do a full Alpine, like, hierarchy study. Case study. I just think it's wild. And if anyone's really interested, one of our followers sent us screenshots from deep Reddit, F1 Reddit, about, like, all the stuff going on in Alpine. There's a lot going on.
It's crazy. It's a case study of what not to do.
Perhaps. For stake, Joe had to retire only a few laps into the race with a hydraulics issue. Super rough weekend yet again for the team. But in other fun news, everyone right now, pause this and go to Instagram and check out Bottas's new, or one of his reels from this week. It's a hilarious reel with one of his partners, Hyland Graham, where he's basically trying a bunch of random Olympic sports and seeing which he thinks he could do. Like, at one point, he, like, puts on his helmet to do, like, road cycling. He's like, nah, I already do enough of that. Sadly, that epic video did not translate into points, but I think he's having a grand old time.
It's so fun to see the content. I wonder if he does continue racing, if he's in a better car, he's still going to be able to do all this stuff, because it's so fun and I don't want to lose it. For Haas, no points for either car. Unfortunately, it was a tough race with K-Mag in P15 and Hülkenberg in P18. Similarly with Williams, not the best day. Albon looked like he had great pace at points kind of throughout the race, throughout the weekend, but wasn't able to make it happen with the Aston Martins and V-Carbs ahead. So he finished P13. And sadly, Logan finished last. Definitely seems like his days are numbered. And James Vowles made a open comment this weekend about how his heart is set on Carlos. So I think it's very obvious what's happening there. But all eyes are on Carlos. All ears, all everything. We're waiting. So let's go,
emergency
Carlos.
Episode season.
Time to make a decision.
We forgot to say during Alpine, I was thinking about this the other day. Oscar is in a race-winning car this season. He's a Grand Prix winner, and he could have been in an Alpine if he hadn't stood up for himself.
Could you imagine?
Good for him. He saw what Zach Brown was promising, and it ended up being true. For standings, for constructor standings, Red Bull is at 404, still with a sizable lead. McLaren with 361, Ferrari 340, and then Mercedes made a bit of a jump up to 284. And then rounding out in fifth, we have Aston Martin with 71. And for driver standings, we have Max with 275, so still a huge lead. Lando with 197, who also has a pretty sizable lead over Charles with 174. And then it's much tighter with Oscar in 164, Carlos 160, Lewis 143, George 141, and then Checo is in eighth with 129.
Oof, P8. That's a big gap between Max and P1. Anyways, let's round out with some news. So other big news, Mattia Binotto, the former team principal of Ferrari, he's back in F1, this time with Audi. So starting right after the summer break, he will become Audi's chief operating officer and chief technical officer ahead of their 2026 debut. Feels kind of close to 2026 to be just appointing these two really big positions, but way to go, Binotto. That's a huge get for him. And in the spring, I think if you all can remember, there had been some talks about some of the midfield teams and lower teams trying to petition to change the point system to allocate some points beyond the P10 finishers. I think the proposal was for P11 and P12 to snag some points too. It looks like that kind of all died down, and there was like an official FIA meeting this week, and they confirmed that actually in the end all teams rejected this proposal. So no change to the point system for 2025.
And with that, thank you all for tuning in. Stay tuned for more content coming in the off season, starting with our interview, our Mercedes interview with Bradley, the chief communications officer, and Allie, the head of sustainability, and then lots of good stuff. We're going to do our first AMA for a while, our mailbag episode. So look out for stories and start thinking of questions, because we have lots to chat about.